The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. And delighted to have you here on Find Your Phone Friday. Join the conversation at 770-5633. By the way, wanted to talk a little bit about that. Yeah, I know it still said KCMD on that thing. I'm kind of beating all the KCMDs out of little parts and bits and pieces of the radio station, and that's one of the last ones, but it's now KBXG, the jukebox, KBXG 99.3 FM, the jukebox, which, by the way, I'm still on that frequency in Josephine County. We appreciate that, and I just wanted to give you some news on the improving the signal for KMED in Grants Pass and Josephine County. Because, of course, KCMD was essentially a huge signal booster for, KMED's talk format in Medford when we were all simulcast together. But since we're not, this is what has happened. 105.9 FM, which is a signal from Rogue River pointed into Grants Pass, has been repaired. Went up there yesterday, had Dave Akins, the tower climber, Crazy Dave as we always call him, affectionately, and he climbed it and did a repair on the antenna. And the one that was pointed towards Grants Pass was broken. So it had some problems, and it got repaired and got that all back on. And I just tested out the signal, and it does do what it is supposed to do now, because now you can hear 105.9. And this is the entire KMED lineup, everything from me to Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins, and also Lars and Hannity, Coast to Coast, Joe Pags, Ground Zero. I mean, all of that in there. 24/7, 365. I drove out. Now, I didn't have time to drive any further out of Grants Pass, but I took it all the way to around milepost 7, milepost 8 on 199, which is past the RCC entrance, past that area. And it was just a solid 5-on-5 signal, back there. It was just perfect out there. And I was able to listen all the way in through Grants Pass and listen to 105.9 exclusively until I got to about exit 43, Gold Hill. And then at that point, 106.3, KMED's main transmitter signal up on Roxy Ann in Medford takes over and is much better at that point. So, you flip it over. So that's the way it's working here right now. Here is the challenge, though, and I was warning as we were getting ready to, as the ownership was getting ready to change the format on KCMD to classic hits, the jukebox, is that if you live in certain areas, Highway 238 out in the Applegate, that part is not going to be covered by 105.9 or the main signal. The Applegate is hemmed in with mountainous terrain. It's just always been a real challenge to hit that. 99.3 KCMD did do that, and it also hits that as the jukebox. But if you are in the Applegate area, out Highway 238, Williams, places like that, you're going to have to stream on KMED.com to get KMED's talk format. And if you're also out in Cave Junction and Selma, unfortunately, we were tasked by the company to do more things with the existing signals. So that's what we did. And I have, got things prepared so that Grants Pass, the city of Grants Pass itself, does get it. Now, if you're over the hill, that signal cuts off right about the time you hit the Merlin Hill before exit 61, okay? That's about the boundary of it. And it's just a matter of physics and FCC rules that say, hey, here's how long your signal's allowed to go. A lot of people were surprised about that. A lot of folks don't understand the federal rules that say, okay, we have our station in Medford, and they're assigned to markets, and you can't just all of a sudden say, we're going to put another signal in another market. We're just going to make it happen, and it's going to be, there are all sorts of rules. There are all sorts of rules. I don't want to get off into the weeds on it, but everything's working. Everything is working. Everything sounds good, but it can't cover everything, because Southern Oregon is a very mountainous community, and because of that reason, it really makes it a challenge to get your radios going everywhere it is. That's why you have so many repeaters if you're in to ham radio, and why you have so many translators. All the FM stations, all the stations have many translators going on, okay? All right, you can join in at 770-5633-770-KMED. Home and real estate statistics came out yesterday. This is interesting here because, a lot of times what has been going on with real estate, given that interest rates have been just super high, at least super high by tradition. They're not super high by long-term deal. I mean, it was not that long ago that a 5, 6, 7% mortgage was considered, oh, okay, that's a pretty good mortgage, right? Wasn't like when I first purchased a home in Seattle area back in the 1980s, and I think it was 10.9% mortgage during that inflation of the 1980s. They were just raising the interest rates to smack the inflation out of the economy at that point. I remember it was 10.9% FHA loan, and we had to buy down several points in order to get it down to 10.9% then. And you felt really lucky to get it. I think the car loans were like 16, 17% back then, new car loans, if I recall correctly. It's like, wow. Yeah, that's what inflation ends up doing to you. Now, job report came out about 275,000 today, more than they expected. Is that going to allow the Fed to have political cover to cut interest rates? I don't know. They're probably going to want to cut the interest rates anyway to juice Joe Biden's chances. Just saying. I could be wrong about that, but, they always talk about the Federal Reserve being independent. Yeah, it's a political animal just like anything else. But as far as the realtors, Rogue Valley Association of Realtors, when they're not, putting out hit pieces on Republicans, are did I say that out loud? Oh, I remember. No, come on, realtors. I still remember what happened with that Joseph E. County Commission hit out there a while back. Did you ever get to the bottom of which one of your members did that, got political? Maybe a conversation for another time. But the realtors, Rogue Valley Association of Realtors, saying that the rolling quarter statistics show a notable rise in residential inventory as well as in rural home prices. So the prices are still continuing to go up, and but now we're starting to get some more inventory. So a lot of people have been sitting on 3% mortgages. They've been sitting on 3% mortgages, and gosh, it's kind of hard. You have to really be persuaded hard to get out of that. But I guess we're getting to the point where some people are having to move, and so we're starting to get more residential deal. Let's see, Jackson County. In Jackson County, total number sold in Jackson County, 476 compared to 464 during last year. So that's pretty much flat, really. But the number of days on the market, 16 days, up 2 days compared to last year's. Boy, I'll tell you, the houses move quick when they do come on, right? And let's see, residential inventory of homes up 16%. Sales of existing homes rising 2%. Countywide median price for the rolling quarter, $405,000. Wow, the median price for a home, $405,000. That's in Jackson County, $405,000. I guess that means what, the crap shack is $300,000? That's the way that's going? Take a look over at Josephine County. Josephine County stats here. Existing home sales slightly increased. Total number sold in Joe County at 119 compared to 116. Median price for the rolling quarter, $369,000. So in spite of the fact that there are fewer sales, we got a 1.1% increase in the prices. And the number of days on the market in Josephine County, about 20 days compared to 27 days last year. So whatever goes out there sells pretty quickly because there's just not that much to buy. But even then, inventory is going up just a little bit. So that is the latest. Other news we have going on this morning. If you're in Talent Phoenix, you got a power failure right now. Let me just refresh this on Pacific Power. And we got a couple of outages here. And around 2,000 customers are out. Phoenix Talent area, and Pacific Power says they expect to have that back on by about 8:30 this morning, just so you know. All right. Josephine County, we have prescribed burning going to be going on today. So if you see smoke, don't get too panicky. More than 30 firefighters working your prescribed burn, BLM, Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest, and 12-acre live fires at the ProVault Seed Orchard off of Williams Highway. They're going to do that burn to clear the tall grass, okay? So don't get too freaked out if you see something like that. National news, interesting stories that caught my eye. You're not hearing much about this, but the Russian court trial of the U.S. soldier arrested on theft charges has started now. A court in Russia's far eastern city of Vladivostok yesterday started the trail on an American, a trial rather, of Staff Sergeant Gordon Black, a 34-year-old who flew to Vladivostok to see his girlfriend, was arrested after she accused him of stealing from her, according to U.S. officials and Russian authorities. Faces up to 5 years in prison if convicted. Of course, this is a Vlad Putin court. Could nothing be untoward there? But, you know, how can we point fingers at, or fingers rather, at Russia's court system? Given what we've been experiencing the last few years, just saying. All right? All right. Another interesting story that KOBI 5 was reporting on, I'm going to talk about here in just a little bit, about wildfire grant money slithering into the gullet and some brouhaha over that with Jackson County. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your work truck and van headquarters. Proudly offering Adrian Steel interior shelving packages, partitions, and the best ladder racks in the business. Integrate a bed slide or decked drawer system to boost your efficiency. Also featuring the largest selection of commercial fiberglass and metal truck canopies from leading manufacturers such as ARE, SmartCap, Century, and more. Come see Oregon Truck and Auto Authority today and take your efficiency to the next level.
Summertime is truck time in Southern Oregon, so I'm going to keep the $4.45 a month deal going on Ford F-150s. Joel here at Butler Ford and Truck Center. Tow the boat or camper for only $4.45 a month and a new Ford F-150. Go haying, hunting, or hauling for only $4.45 a month and a new Ford F-150. Whatever you do in your truck, make sure you do it in one from Butler Ford and Truck Center, where I'll show you how to lease a brand new Ford F-150 for only $4.45 a month. And let's talk about Ford certified pre-owned vehicles. We're the dealership that sells any make and model as Ford Blue certified. Ford backs up these pre-owned vehicles with a comprehensive warranty and roadside assistance. Butler says yes to easy financing to everyone. Butler says yes to $4.45 a month on a new F-150. And Butler says yes to certified pre-owned vehicles with warranty. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes south of Medford, right off of exit 19, where you know we've got your truck, your SUV, your certified pre-owned hybrid and electric vehicle.
36-month lease payments and 7,500 miles per year with 7,500 cash or trade to a 70 excluding tax, license, title, and 250 dealer dot fee on vehicle with cap cost of $42,884. Approved financing to Ford Credit. Offer expires 7/9/24.
The boys of summer are back. The Medford Rogues are settling in with a busy slate of home games at Harry and David Field through July. The Rogues host the Redmond Dudes this weekend with a three-game homestand Friday through Sunday. Buy tickets online at medfordrogues.com or call the box office and pick up. Box office opens at 5:45. Take the family out to the ballpark and catch all the action this summer at Harry and David Field. Visit medfordrogues.com for schedules, tickets, and nightly promotions and events.
Hi, this is Mark from Jay Austin, and I'm on KMED and KCMD.
623. By the way, Mark is a great person to know if you're looking to buy or sell silver or gold. Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers. Big sponsor of the program, by the way. Call him at 482-3715. And I know that everybody, you know, the big boys in the gold and silver world are trying to get you to get into a gold or silver-backed IRA. There's certainly nothing wrong with that if that's how you wanted to do this play. But the way that Jay Austin tends to look at this is they look at Jay Austin, or they look at gold and silver and precious metals as something which is worthy of having in your control rather than a third party. Hey, we're going to take your gold and silver and we'll hold it on your behalf, and then you can take a, you know, the tax deduction on it and the IRA and this and that and the other. Because it's pretty well known and open secret right now that Congress has been talking about folding everybody's IRAs into the financial system in order to kind of do a soft bailout of the federal government. They've been talking about this openly for a number of years. And this is and maybe this is another example of what David Webb was writing about in that book, you know, The Great Taking, in which what you think is yours is not really yours, or what you think is yours is the federal government when the federal government is running out of other people's money and starts looking for cash, whether it be your IRA, whether it be your money in the bank, and, you know, these kind of things. So if you're looking for some just-in-case gold and silver, that's something you want to have in your control, put it in your safe, or bury it in the backyard, wherever. Just don't tell anybody, right? You know, that kind of thing. But talk to Jay Austin & Company, gold and silver buyers. Call them at 482-3715. Drop by 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland. and also 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. That's by appointment. Call 482-3715. Great people, great sponsor. JAustinBrokers.com and FortuneReserve.com. All right. In all the bad news right now and how everything is bad, 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 bad for you, I have some good news if you're a coffee drinker. I have yet to have started sipping down on my little Contigo cup here, which is filled with fine Peruvian blend, organic something or something, something, something. But I like it. I like it, all right? Findings suggest that caffeine may reduce Parkinson's risk by 40%. This was a study I was reading out of Epic Times the other day. They actually do a lot of good health coverage out of there. And while previous research highlighted caffeine's benefits like increased energy and enhanced cognitive performance, maybe that's what Joe Biden does when he when he does the debate, I don't know. Recent study in neurology adds to evidence that caffeine may help prevent Parkinson's. And the new study examined coffee intake and future Parkinson's risk in 184,000 participants. So this was actually a pretty good study. Pretty good study. Pretty interesting here. Something else which is interesting, a little closer to home here, Oregon Housing and Community Services, as reported by KOBI 5, is reacting to Jackson County Commissioner's concerns over the administration of Community Development Block Grant following the 2020 wildfires, the 2020 arson fires. I know they always talk about those being arson fires. They just came out of nowhere, right? They just happened in a 60-mile-an-hour wind event. Okay, but I'll set that aside for right now. NBC 5 News reported the Board of Commissioners is asking the state to review and audit the grant money designed to help the community recover from Almeda and South Alvin chain fires, or open chain fires. One of the commissioner's concerns is over the process that OHCS uses to choose who gets the funding. Now, OHS responded to NBC5 asking for comments, saying that it's the agency's job to ensure money goes to the needs of survivors impacted by wildfires across Oregon. Additionally, in the best interest of Oregonians and Oregon's recovery, OHCS says that its priority is to protect the money, okay? Now, in a state, this is the part that that really got me. As part of the process, OHCS, you know, the Oregon Housing and Community Services, developed the Re-Oregon Action Plan after gaining public comment during the summer of 2022. Under this plan, the needs of Jackson County's Latinx, which nobody uses except, you know, communists, you know, that whole community. But the agency says that those were the people most impacted by the 2020 wildfires and that the Latino community is supposed to be prioritized. What a load of crap this is. This is a total load of crap. You know why? You want to talk about the community that was probably more impacted By the Almeda and open chain fires? Elderly people, and it doesn't matter what your color is. You didn't have to be a Latino or a Latina or a Latinx. Elderly people living in mobile homes, very inexpensive, affordable homes, all up and down Bear Creek, all of those mobile home parks being wiped out. Those were the ones, I think, that honestly had the biggest impact and took the brunt of it. Elderly people, not Latina or Latinx people or Latino, it's elderly people. That's the reality. And you have, you know, this this stupid state agency that is going around and once again putting people, boy, we got to put people in the racial box. If we're not putting people in the racial box, then we're not doing our job, Governor Tina Kotek. If we're not spreading divisiveness, we're not doing our job, essentially. Well, I'm certainly hoping that, you know, they're yelling at Jackson County saying, oh, well, we just don't have enough Latino, Latinx representation. Listen, it's elderly. Now, I'm not saying that it was just elderly, but when you talk about people who were really poor or didn't have a lot of money, fixed income, not a lot of assets in many cases, and then your 40-year-old mobile home got wiped out by that arson fire, and they keep calling a wildfire, right? Those homes all get wiped out. What, you're going to replace a $500 a month rent and you're not going to get much money on a 40-year-old house? I mean, a lot of those mobile homes that were out there were just not particularly valuable, but they were affordable. That's who really got wiped out, people who had affordable rentals. They're just screwed out of that whole process. And for the state to say that Well, the problem here is that it has to be about the Latina and the Latinx community. It's just astounding. It just enrages me. It's so offensive, and it should be offensive to all of us. I'll see if we can talk with Jackson County folks about that. I don't know if we're going to be able to do it this morning, maybe Monday or so. But I'm just irritated that they're going down that entire racial injustice thing. Yeah, the fire didn't know anybody's color. All right? It comes right down to it. It was more of a class situation here where people who had the affordable homes were just burned out, and there wasn't much done to be able to make them whole again. It's 6:31 at KMED. And 99.3 KBXG, the jukebox. Rick Manning is standing by. We'll get slimy, swampy, or just he smiled at me. I said, "I see you this morning." Here, I see you this morning. You can't fool me, Rick. But the D.C. Swamp update, we'll shift gears here after the rest of the news.
Since 1979, Dusty's Transmissions has been your go-to transmission experts, proudly serving our region for over 40 years. This family-owned, award-winning business has grown to become the largest specialized transmission and gear train shop from Portland to Sacramento. With 10 lifts and a custom remanufacturing facility, they're equipped to get you back on the road quickly. Dusty's Transmissions keeps inventory stocked, minimizing downtime and saving you money. Trust the experts.
Hi, Rick. You're looking great. We'll talk in a bit.
Dental Point.
Dusty's Transmission. You'll always find me.
Doing pretty well in a crazy time. Brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
With SRN News, I'm Jeremy House in Washington. America's employers added 272,000 jobs in May. The figure reflected the durability of America's consumer-driven economy. With the nation's households continuing their steady spending, many employers have had to keep hiring to meet their customer demand. Federal prosecutors are wrapping up their gun case against Hunter Biden as the trial enters day five in Delaware. Two more witnesses are expected to bolster the prosecution's case that the president's son lied on a mandatory gun purchase form when he said he wasn't, quote, an unlawful user of or addicted to drugs. President Biden will speak from Juan de Hoc today, marking his second trip to the Normandy coast during his visit to France for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. On Wall Street, futures are showing the Dow down 53 points. More details at SRNnews.com.
6:33, inflation, even though the Biden administration is talking about, it's getting reduced, it doesn't mean that prices have reversed course and gone backward, okay? Especially when it comes to insurance. Overall, year-over-year insurance, especially car insurance, up 20, 25%. Did your income go up 20, 25%? Probably not, all right? You need a friend in the insurance business to help you navigate this and try to get yourself a better deal. Oh, maybe the wildfire maps that aren't supposed to be affecting you were affecting you anyway, and you got canceled or you're having trouble getting fire coverage for your rural property. Talk to Steve Yancey at Sky Park Insurance. He's an independent insurance agent and works with a lot of different companies and has saved a lot of listeners here in Southwest Oregon a lot of money. And you have to just call him and get a quote, 261-5444, 261-5444. And you might find out that in spite of the fact that you think your rate's too high, it might be the best deal you got. If so, Steve will tell you. But if Steve can cut you a better deal, wouldn't you like that? 261-5444 or skyparkins.com.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
Have your taxes gotten off track? Just call Zach, CPA at First Response Resolution. Visit firstresponseirs.com today to see what Zach can do for you. First Response Resolution in Eagle Point is your first response to the IRS, defending your rights as a taxpayer.
Are you using extension cords outside? You likely need Completed Electric Plus to install an all-weather plug where it's most convenient. Need a plug for your power equipment? Complete it. Pond pump? Complete it. A string of lights on your pavilion? Completed. How about a TV on the patio? Completed Electric Plus installs electric plugs quickly, expertly, and affordably with certified electricians specializing in residential electrical jobs. Call Completed Electric Plus and check those jobs off your list. Visit CompletedElectricPlus.com.
106.3 KMED, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on the lights, because I don't want to see.
Rick Manning, who's the president of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com, and GetLiberty.org. He turns the lights on all the time and watches the cockroaches scatter over in the D.C. swamp. But I don't know. Do cockroaches live in the swamp, Rick? I don't know. But don't
well,
want...
the answer is yes. And they and it's kind of a reverse world here. When the lights, you know, when the lights go on, the cockroaches just look at you and dare you, and the people scatter.
Okay.
So it's a little different.
All right, got it.
The cockroaches are the ones who are above board.
All right. Well, jobs report here, Rick. I know you used to work in the labor department. It would crunch these kind of numbers. Are the job reports number, 275 over 185,000 expected? Is that a big deal? Is that just noise? What are you thinking overall about that? Have you had a chance to crank?
I think the biggest deal about that aspect of the jobs report is that over the past 12 months have been 600,000 jobs created in government. Okay, now that's a significant number, and when you look at the overall number, it puts it down this month from 275 to about, it was 42,000 I think this month in government jobs, so it puts it down in 230s. That's a large number of new payroll. We used to look at 150,000 as being the norm. So that's still about 50% above what used to be considered to be the norm. The challenge on it is you talk to people, and a lot of it's people having two jobs. It's because you don't see it in the household data of people, new people getting jobs. You see it instead in the area of people getting, hospitality industry. Well, yeah, I took a job being, working at a front desk on the weekend at a hotel, because to supplement what I was making, for the rest of the week. So that's part of this. It's why the numbers don't connect with people, because they know that things are still more expensive. They're having to work harder to make as much money as they used to be able to get by. And it's and if you're working harder to make less, kind of irritates people. So, ultimately, I haven't dug deep on this. The thing that's, I was just going to pick one number, just in a cursory look. We hear a lot about how many new employed there are, and you look at employment numbers. The unemployment rate's at 4% now. It was 3.6% a year ago. 3.6% I believe a year ago, I'm sorry, 3.7%. But the number of people employed over the past, new people employed over the last year, is only about 300,000. It's almost between 300,000 and 400,000.
Okay.
And so if you take that number of how many new people are employed in the workforce, that is a, 400,000 over the course of a year is an extremely low number. That's about 30,000 a month. And so of new employed. And that does not, that doesn't reflect, a robust employment economy. It tells you that there aren't many people are entering the workforce. There just aren't many new expanded people having jobs. Not to be too boring, but part of that's because you have more people retiring, and hence you have lower percentage of people in the workforce. But it is a that's a marginal thing. It's only about 0.1% of, in terms of overall participation. But the participation is down about 0.1% because of retirement versus new people entering the workforce. And overall, this unemployment report is not going to give the people want rate cuts, great hope that there'll be rate cuts. But it's not going to discourage. But it's also not going to discourage them because it isn't a. It's kind of a middling report.
Okay. All right. It's interesting. I was listening to This Morning with Gordon Deal, who comes on before I do here, Rick. And Rick Newman, I think, who is from Yahoo, does Yahoo Finance, and he was talking about this, and he seemed to be all going into needing to. We obviously need to have more immigrants, more immigrants. We need to have a better way of having more immigrants coming in and being active in the economy. And And I'm hearing this kind of situation as the Biden administration has allowed several million, to come in over the last few years. And we're told that we need that for the economy, that we need this for the economy. Is Rick living in a different country than we are? Or is there something about someone like a Rick Newman who seems to be pretty conventional out there that is correct? You know,
a lot of the big business people are making that argument. The problem with that argument is simple. The on the ground real fact is that what's happening with the people who are coming in is they're being given social services. They're getting money from the government to not work, and then they work under the table. And we see them when if you pull up to Home Depot at 7 a.m. in the morning, you see that. And so you have people working under the table, not paying taxes, and because of working under the table, they're able to get various social services, particularly in states that kind of turn a blind eye toward whether somebody is legal or not and supposed to be getting those services or not.
That would be Oregon, for an example. Yeah.
As a result, what we have in a very practical way is the people we're importing through this illegal immigration system. The people we're importing are basically massive drains on our budgets. I've seen estimates of like $300 to $500 billion a year in costs directly associated to illegal immigrants who are here in America, in terms of government costs. So you're looking at a circumstance where if we had a rational immigration system, if we had a system where people came, let's say we went from 1 million people legally to 2 million people legally. And we had a system where we were able to have a merit system for getting into the country and not just whoever happens to have somebody here gets invited and they get first shot. So we're able to attract skills and different things like that for immigration. That would be a rational immigration system. It's an immigration system that Donald Trump proposed back when he was president. And the fact of the matter is, it's an immigration system that the Democrats didn't want. And so if we were to have, I'm not gonna discount the idea that if we had, we'd probably need to have more legal immigration, but we have to end the illegal immigration. Legal immigration means you're not eligible for social services. You have to have a job. That's what legal immigration means. It's part of the contract. But on the other hand, illegal immigration means you are, essentially, you're illegal. So anything you get is, it's great.
Yeah, and apparently a lot of big business, though, is frankly okay with even the illegal. It's almost like, okay, if we can get some of these people cheap under the table, then I'm just kind of presuming this is the way they're thinking. We can privatize our profits, but socialize the costs onto the rest of the American taxpayer. Is that kind of the business model that a lot of the Chamber of Commerce nationally looks at? Do they like that?
Well, what you're saying is exactly what Cesar Chavez said in the 60s when he opposed the illegal immigration and efforts to import foreign workers to pick crops. He said specifically that was union breaking because they were effectively undercutting the price that the union would charge for workers, and they were doing it through illegal or through systems, immigration systems that were designed to undercut the costs, the charges, the labor costs for people who lived here who were here legally, who were willing to pick vegetables and fruits. So you've just made the argument that Cesar Chavez made. You don't hear that often in the world today, that the guy who they name streets after and who's lionized almost up there with Martin Luther King Jr. when you talk about the Hispanic community, at least here in America, that in fact he was ardently against illegal immigration because he saw it exactly the way you just stated it, as a means of undercutting the people who lived here and the salaries they were able to get for picking fruits and vegetables.
And then on top of that, the Democratic Party wins because they're able to augment workers who or voters who are more pliable for them, given that the current crop of Americans that are actually native born are less and less perhaps enamored being replaced. I don't know.
They've got a massive problem right now with young Hispanics, and Trump's up by four with Hispanics under 40.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a massive problem for the Democrats. They basically were looking at the Hispanic population as being the replacement voters for the blue collar voters they threw under the bus.
Were they looking at them as the replacement for blacks that were starting to so-called leave the Democrat plantation or not?
No, they were an augmentation for blacks. The challenge of blacks is that the population, because of the Planned Parenthood policies of the left, the black population hasn't grown. There have been 20 million blacks killed from abortion since 1960. So the growth of the black population has been significantly diminished based upon abortion policy.
Interesting.
And Planned Parenthood's plan to put abortion clinics on every street corner in black America. And they've done that. So they are actually being hoisted on their own petard in that regard, looking beyond the moral repugnance of a plan to wipe out an ethnic group in America, which was what Planned Parenthood's plan was,
yep,
and still is. The moral repugnance of that, the irony is that those who are the biggest proponents of that racist, repugnant plan that murders children, largely because of what race they are, those who are the authors of that plan, those are the funders of that plan, are the net political losers because of that plan. Because that the population growth in the community they've targeted is a reliable Democrat vote.
Yeah.
So now the truth is, demographically, young men, young black men, are significantly more likely to be up in the air and up for grabs in terms of voting. They tell pollsters that we were better off economically under Trump. They're not voting as a hyphen. They're voting as a blue collar worker for all intents and purposes.
Interesting.
And that conversion is happening in the Hispanic community also. That conversion is what's happening is as the leftists try to hyphenate America and divide America. Ironically, the left used to want everybody to be divided upon what class you were in terms of economic class. And the irony is that now young black males and young Hispanics are looking at themselves much more based on economics rather than their racial, their hyphen. And because of that, they view the Republican Party, they view Donald Trump as being someone who represents their economic interests against Joe Biden or the Democrats, who clearly don't. And that is a fundamental shift. It does not translate to Republicans. Okay? It just doesn't translate to Republicans.
It translates. So in other words, this boost in Hispanic and young black males, this is only really a Trump phenomenon more than anything else.
At this juncture, it's a Trump phenomenon. But if going back in time, way back when the South was solid Democrat, you didn't get down ballot votes for Republicans for 30 years. You had Richard Nixon breaking the solid South in 68. You had 72 where George Wallace got George Wallace wasn't in 68, but solid South, Democrat South got broken in 68. Richard Nixon picked up the votes in 72. You had then Jimmy Carter brought those votes back in 76 because he was from Georgia. But after that, Ronald Reagan basically got the South. In 1984, the Republican Party tried to translate Reagan's popularity in the South to down ballot races. And while they were able to get some seats in the Senate and some seats in Congress, and have slowly taken over the South in both the Senate and the Congress, it took 20 more years before state legislatures were Republican and not Democrat. I actually lobbied the South for the NRA in 84, and my job was to beat Lee Atwater because the incumbent Democrats were strong pro-gun, And I wasn't a partisan. My job was to elect people who stood up for gun rights.
Wow. I mean, isn't that astounding to talk about a day in which the Democrats in the South were solidly pro-gun and you were lobbying for them at that time?
We reelected them.
Yeah.
Okay. That was my job. Okay.
What a change.
And yeah, they're not like that right now. But that's largely because they got wiped out. The irony is, as they aged, the next people who came in were Republican. And that doesn't mean they were philosophically at all different. They were just, the Democrat Party shifted away from them. And so the people who were coming up became Republicans. But a lot of the Republicans who are in the South would have been Democrats 20, 30 years ago and been philosophically just fine. So it's it was an interesting time to work in the South. You had really the conversion from the 50s and 60s Democrats, 40s, 50s and 60s Democrat generation that fought to maintain segregation to a generation that supported desegregation. So you had a lot of, it was really an intriguing time to be down there. And to give you a sense of it, in the state of Mississippi, there was one Republican senator.
One.
Yeah, one. And now I don't think you can find, the Democrats are marginalized to a great degree. There were a lot of places where in South Carolina, I think there were like three or four, maybe five Republican senators. But the Republican senators worked with the old line Democrats because they were conservative together on a lot of different things. And so they worked together and had more influence than you would anticipate because of the ability to coalesce. And so a lot of your coalitions that developed had little to do with party.
But they were more about it truly what you were conservative about. Rick Manning's president of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. That's a great little interesting swampy bit of history there, too, that I kind of forgot about that. It's good to
work. It was a really interesting time to work there. We passed the concealed carry law in Florida. That was one of the seminal change and kind of broke the ice in terms of making it common to have concealed carry laws around the country. We elected the state legislature to do that by brokering a coalition between the Cuban Republicans in the South, the Central Florida Republicans, and the North Florida Democrats to defeat the South Florida Democrats who were controlling the Senate. And we built a coalition. We cut a deal between the Republicans and the Democrats, and then we elected a governor who wouldn't veto the bill. So it was a straight political play, but it was a bipartisan political play that recognized philosophical interests in common versus party differences.
And are there...
That's how you had to get stuff done then, and that's what we did. That's how we passed concealed carry in Florida.
Are there major... the differences today are more ideological than nature. Would you agree with me on that than today? What you were talking about the way it was?
Oh, absolutely. The Democrats, I'll use North Carolina as an example. The governor of North Carolina is a guy named Roy Cooper. Roy Cooper was he was a lawyer. I'm not sure he was a trial lawyer, but I suspect he was. But he was there when I was lobbying the state legislature. One young guy who was there, aggressive, but he was a young liberal kind of civil rights activist guy. Okay, and so he was relatively liberal. His district redistricted the seats in such a way that there are always enough blacks in a seat in a district that a white Democrat could win, but still was able to win a primary if they needed to win a primary, and so or win a runoff as it worked out how they used to do their elections, but it was the gerrymandering in the states were a lot different in that the Democrats wanted to disperse the votes of the blacks, so white liberal Democrats would get elected ostensibly to represent those black interests, but essentially so the white Democrats held power. And at one point
Yeah, the white Democrats held power by keeping the plantation,
getting enough black votes, enough black votes to vote them in,
yeah,
but not enough black votes to nominate a black candidate.
Got it. All right. Now let me
name those places.
Okay. Now I'm just running.
So all in all, and so now I kind of look at it, and we have these Voting Rights Act arguments, and it's a. In South Carolina, the Supreme Court just said, nah, it's not a violation of the Voting Rights Act. And the complaint in South Carolina was that they were compacting blacks into a congressional district to guarantee two black congressional districts. I think it's two is the number, as opposed to allowing them to be dispersed and have, so you can have more white Democrats. And the blacks were saying they wanted the power dispersed, so there were fewer guaranteed black seats, and the Republicans were saying in State House were saying, no, we're trying to comply with the law here. And it went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, you know, this is political gerrymandering, which is legal. It wasn't racial gerrymandering. And
yeah.
So, of course, they had to consider it because the Voter Rights Act considers it. But it's and blew up the left's case to redistrict South Carolina.
All right. So let me shift gears here.
We still have that exact argument going on right now.
Okay.
And it's no different. And what happened for 50 years in the South when black votes were dispersed to try to make sure the maximum number of white Democrats got elected.
All right. So things haven't changed all that much then. But it has changed me. But it is changing in the Republican world as far as Donald Trump goes, because you talked about how black males, Hispanic males, certainly blue collar workers up for grab here. That's good. Overall.
The irony, what's actually happening is. A lot of young white or young black males and young Hispanic males are saying, identifying more with their blue collar work and with their career than they are with their hyphen.
That's actually healthy,
They're voting alongside their white colleagues because they're in the same economic boat, and an economic boat that has been sinking under Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. And they look at that and they say, I'm worse off under Joe Biden. You can tell me all this esoteric stuff and call me whatever hyphen you want, but I'm not making as much money as it's costing me to live. I'm moving backwards in my lifestyle, and I aspire to more. And Donald Trump gave us more, and so a significant increased percentage are going to vote for Donald Trump. Now, the number isn't as big in the black voting demographic as it is in the Hispanic voting demographic, but it is a significant shift. And the Democrats, it is hard to figure out a way that Democrats win and Joe Biden wins if he can't hold on to the black votes that he has banked, particularly in inner city areas like Philadelphia, Milwaukee, Detroit, Raleigh-Durham area, or North Carolina. So you look at a lot of those states where Biden the swing back and forth. He has to hold on to the black constituency en masse, and the problem he has is simple. Even if they decide they can't vote Republican, if they don't want to vote for him and somebody else doesn't just vote their vote without their knowledge, then he's going to, a vote that he doesn't get is half of, even if they don't vote for anybody else, is effectively he loses half a vote.
Okay. Hey, Rick, I'm almost out of time here. Something I wanted to touch on here, besides the black male and Hispanic vote, which is now leaning towards Trump here. There's another demographic that I don't hear much being talked about, and I wanted to float the theory to you that this election may be decided first and foremost by renters. And I'm wondering if there's a possibility that may be something that doesn't matter what your color or your race or ethnicity or anything else or even your party, that given what has happened over the last few years here with the Federal Reserve keeping interest rates super low, goosing asset prices for years and years and years, housing values, of course, if you're a homeowner, you've been happy about this, I suppose, to a certain extent. But renters are getting pounded and pounded and pounded in this inflationary situation. And what role do you think you might see, just renters just saying, okay, I've had enough of this? And looking at it.
That's an interesting question. I haven't thought much about it. I will tell you that the problem with renters and politically, as I look at it, is the fact they're very mobile. They move around a lot. Mm-hmm. And so they get registered at one place and maybe they registered another place. But because our system is so poor at actually pulling people, changing and getting people off the rolls. A whole lot of ballots in states like Oregon, where they just mail live ballots anywhere without checking who's getting them. A whole lot of live ballots end up stacked up in front of the renter's mail and apartment building mailboxes for anybody to pick up and vote. And as a result, I have a hard time getting an honest read on how renters will vote.
Because, okay,
quite honestly, I think a lot of renters vote who don't realize they're voting.
Okay. Well, that's something to pick up with and take up with our corrupt Secretary of State Department, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I mean, it's just a reality. I mean, anybody who's ever lived in an apartment knows there's a bunch of mail that's always stacked up in the mailboxes. And if you're mailing live ballots to those mailboxes and the people aren't there, the postman just sits it there. Assuming your postman isn't grabbing it and voting it, he might send it back and say, no, they're not this address. Or he might give it to the postal union to vote. I don't know how that works. I just know that there's a heck of a lot of live ballots sitting in front of apartment buildings, it's hard to figure how the renters are going to vote, because once again, if I don't know how many renters are actually registered. It's one of those things that are actually registered in the place they're supposed to be registered at.
Well, all I can say, though,
it's really
is
a hard thing to figure out.
I'm just saying, though, that there is a growing rage, I think, for a lot of people in the.
I agree with that. The increased costs and a sense of not having any control over the cost of your housing costs. And it's not going to get better because the commercial loans, the big loans for apartment buildings, they're paying, if they have to refinance, they're paying at the same high interest rates.
Yeah.
And that just drives your costs up. And every aspect of the inflationary cycle gets poured into that end product. And the renter ends up feeling the brunt of it. And they don't have any idea why they get a report saying unemployment or the inflation rate's 3.6 or whatever they're reporting, but they're getting an annual increase of 7 to 10%. That's, I'll tell you what, that is why those blue-collar workers who are sitting there, they may rent, are saying, I'm getting further behind, and I don't like it. And they don't have the capacity to buy a house because the housing costs are going through the roof and through the interest rates, and plus the fact that people don't let us build houses. You have a supply problem and you have an interest rate problem. So all in all, people can feel trapped. When people feel trapped, they vote for change.
All right. And I would agree with you. And that, it was overall a pretty good week for Donald Trump, I would have to say. Before we take off here, the one thing I did want to touch in on is that what can be done? Can you donate to any candidates really without having to go through the WinRed grift? And the reason I bring this up is that I counted the number of spam texts from everybody who ever pretended to be a friend of Donald Trump this week, begging for money, and I had to silence them all. It just got to the point where I'm blocking them. I'm getting to the point where I'm getting ready to send a $50 check or more just to Mar-a-Lago and just say, hey, it's for the Trump campaign, just so I don't have to give them a cell phone number and an email address that I would just continually get spammed on. And I have other people saying the same thing.
Yeah, I agree. I've had people ask me that question. I will tell you, I give money to the MAGA, Taylor Budowski's group, MAGA something, because I know they're actually doing stuff to help elect Donald Trump. It's a PAC. It's not affiliated with the Trump campaign.
Oh, really?
They are actually focused on doing stuff to help elect Donald Trump. consequently, and I know that, so that's somebody I recommend. I think going directly to the Trump campaign, though, if you don't want to do online through WinRed, which quite honestly, they take it. There's a lot of vig being taken in the WinRed stuff.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a grift though, but it's a huge money machine. And the thing is, and we went to the campaign, to the Trump campaign, and when you go to the Trump campaign website, it takes you to WinRed if you want to donate to them. I wanted to donate directly.
That's the first place it goes, but there's somewhere in there, you know, you can find an address, okay? And I would write, for me, I'd go old school. I'd write a check directly to the campaign, and I would say, and because the one thing you know about that check, you know, 3 to 5% of it isn't being deducted for a payment processing system,
right?
Which is what WinRed is, and that doesn't contribute any value. It's just a payment processing system that is ubiquitous in the Republican side. So, yeah, I'd write a check directly to the campaign. And but it's why I look at the MAGA group that Taylor Budowski has.
So Taylor Budowski, the MAGA group of, so I'm going to look
that
up, because
Taylor Budowski, and you'll find the group. He's got a both a PAC and he's just started a 501c4. Which is a lot like Americans for Limited Government, where we have a 501c4, which is nonprofit but not tax deductible.
Right.
So he's got both of those, and he has the capacity, and he's actively involved in the campaign. And of course, if you're actually looking to give money to just a group, you always go to getliberty.org and send money to Americans for Limited Government, because we're in this fight nonstop. But we aren't. While we've endorsed Donald Trump, we aren't a campaign arm of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
By any stretch, but that's a, so anybody's got extra money, feel free to send it our way. But if you want to send it directly to Trump, send it to get the address for the campaign and mail him a check. If you want to avoid all the fees being taken out, if you're looking for a group that I know will be, that isn't affiliated with the party, but I know is doing really good work helping spread the message and build campaign legs for Trump, Taylor Budowski and the MAGA group that he has is one I can recommend.
All right, very good. I'll take that to the bank, and thanks for the suggestion, because it's been something that we're a little bit frustrated on. You know, it's like you hate that feeling that like you do an online donation and then you are whored out to everyone, and it's insane.
Anybody who's ever, I have to tell you, when I see a text message from 88 something, I just go, as you know, give my dad $3 and we'll send you and we'll potentially invite you to something. And I'm like, I'm not giving you $3. But it's just, you seem to get buried with a lot of text messages from various people wanting to get your money. Be smart. There's a lot of people out there who are asking you for their money who aren't going to do a whole lot to help accomplish the goal you have. Give the money directly to President Trump if you're. And I'd endeavor to get a check.
Okay.
And I'll try to figure out a way where people find a check, and I'll have that information for you. I'll email it to you, Bill.
I really appreciate that, Rick. Rick Manning, President of Americans for Limited Government. Great site to stay up on what is going on with this and the fight. It is DailyTorch.com, DailyTorch.com. I love today's cartoon, by the way, from Bronco, which is the, what is it, the smoke signal or something like that. Biden is shooting a gun at Donald's face with a lawfare, and it's blowing back on him, blowing his own face up. Gotta love it. Gotta love it.
Yeah, Bronco's brilliant. I have a good time talking about what cartoons we're going to do each week. But appreciate the time on the air, and everybody, I know things get really crazy.
Yeah.
Fact is, this is all going to work out, okay? We have to work our tails off. We have to fight for this country. But don't get discouraged by the garbage, you know, Bannon being sent to prison and all this other stuff and the you know, real unfairness that we're seeing in the system. You know, what we have to do is we have to wrest the system back from those who are destroying it and be able to and get the people out of the government who are using the government for their own political power and restore America. And we have to do that. And we can't do that if we get frustrated. Get mad if that's a motivation to do stuff. But don't
But just getting mad or frustrated to be mad or frustrated is not going to be productive. You got to do something about that.
Right. And if you ever feel like it's really bad, read about Valley Forge and what was happening to people who were out in Valley Forge who were fighting for this country to start at its very beginning, and how they were freezing to death and they were starving to death. And yet they hung in and they went across, and George Washington took them across the Trenton River and beat the Hessians in Trenton and ended up and really jump-starting the American Revolution. Without that, the American Revolution would have failed. So our circumstances are far, far better than the desperate circumstances that Washington faced at Valley Forge. Our nation was won based on people fighting through tough circumstances because they were determined to be free. We have to have the same guts and determination that those people who were at Valley Forge, who were farmers, and they weren't, you know, intellectuals per se. They were people who just wanted freedom to be left alone. And ultimately, that's what we have to do. We have to have the guts and perseverance of people who are willing to go through a little pain in order to get a country that once again is based upon the idea that all are created equal, endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. That's what we have to do, and I just encourage everybody to do it. That's what we're doing here at ALG.
All right, very good, Rick. And I would also add that equality before the law too was a big part.
Equality before the law is pretty important. And you read the Bill of Rights, and you recognize that a lot of that was equality before the law, and those things have been eviscerated in the last 10 years, and we have to
uneviscerated.
We have to reestablish an expectation of freedom.
Okay, well, it's always fun to make up a word too while we're at it, though. Uneviscerate.
If we say it enough, we say you're evil if you don't do it. Maybe it'll end up in Webster's next year.
Yeah, there we go. Hey, thanks so much, Rick. We'll talk to you soon. All right, be well. DailyTorch.com. It's 12 minutes after 7. Ran along, but there's a lot to talk about this morning here on the D.C. Swamp Update. And this is KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, 99.3 KBXG, Grants Pass.
Rise and shine.